Hi everyone, Guy Searle here from the MyMac.com podcast. On March 24th, 2007, I was invited by the Washington Apple Pie to be their featured speaker at their general meeting. The following podcast is the, I guess you could call it, the outcome of how that meeting exactly went. It's the mix is kind of it's not that great. Part of the problem was that the wireless microphone I was using was not very good, and I ended up having to do a lot of editing, going back into it and pulling out the parts where other people were speaking using the wireless microphone, drop that onto a separate track, and adjust it therein. Anyway, this is the this is what exactly happened at that podcast, and I hope you'll enjoy it.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast.
I'd first like to thank Pat and the other members of the Washington Apple Pie for inviting me here to speak today. In the years I've spent writing, I never imagined that anyone would ask me to be a speaker. Hopefully none of us will be sorry when I'm done. Great journalists aren't born. They're molded via a long process that includes sleepless nights, odd dietary habits, a passion for writing, and the need to get to the truth as they see it. With the exception of odd dietary habits, I'm not one of those people. I'm a writer that writes for the love of seeing what I do in print and available for the world to read. I'll never get rich or most likely earn a living doing this, but it doesn't matter because I'm doing something that I love. I got into podcasting for the same reason. While many of you know me exclusively from my ramblings at MyMac.com and the MyMac.com podcast, I actually got my first taste for writing at the Washington, D.C. area's premier Macintosh user group, the Washington Apple Pie, in our very own Washington Apple Pie Journal. If it wasn't for the journal, I might never have had the courage to express myself to the world, and for that, I thank the Washington Apple Pie and to the great people that make it what it is. I was asked to come and speak to you today about podcasting, and that's what I'm going to do, but before I do that, I'd like to give a little overview of what led to it, in my opinion. How did this all begin? Ever since computers became a part of everyday life, there has been a revolutionary change that defined what we would use computers for. In almost every case, Apple was either the leader or at the forefront of this revolution. In the 70s, it was mass marketing and the selling of affordable computing for the everyman. Prior to the Apple II being released, computers were mostly either huge mainframes or built and programmed for hobbyists, for themselves and their friends. The Apple II changed all this. It was small for the time, easy to hook up and use box that just about anyone could successfully use. People used it for countless different reasons, and Apple as a company thrived. From their success came many different technologies and companies that built on or competed with Apple. Apple essentially kick-started the revolution. Oh, scratch that. Let me say that again. Apple essentially kick-started the home computing revolution. If they had sat on their laurels with the Apple II, things would most likely be very different today. But they weren't satisfied with what had come before and wanted to push technology in ways barely conceived outside of the laboratories. After seeing a demonstration of a graphic user interface at Xerox, Apple licensed the technology and created the Lisa and the Macintosh. Now computer users didn't have to memorize a command line interface to work and be productive with their computers. What they see was what they got. It wasn't long before the second revolution in computing began, desktop publishing. This led to technology being pushed even farther than anyone had imagined, and Apple was again at the leading edge. Building the computers required to best use these tools and encouraging software makers to come up with new and creative ways to express ourselves in print. The 90s revolution was the World Wide Web. To have the ability to reach out and see what the world had to offer, Apple once again came out with computers enabled to take full advantage of another new medium. They lost their focus for a while, but came back strong. You people here today know these things. You didn't need me to stand here or sit here and say them to you, but it was important for me to remind you that without your commitment and dedication to a platform that people not that many years ago thought was dead, Apple as a company might not exist at all. It was the hard work of user groups like the Washington Apple Pie that kept the spirit of Apple alive when most other people seemed to think that Windows was all they ever needed. Now, what is a user group? A computer user group is a technology-inspired collection of like-minded individuals with similar interests, organized by people who want to share the information that they have collected. Why organize? Because there is strength in numbers. A collective group with a single focus can accomplish much more and touch the lives of many others in ways beyond the scope of an individual. In order for such a group to form, you need two things. One, a reason or principle for a group to gather, and two, people. In our case, Apple's amazing technology that has been released over the years was the reason for that group to assemble. It doesn't matter if you came in as a user of the Apple II or the Apple III, the Lisa, the Mac, the Newton, to name just a few. You came in as an Apple user. Their technology inspired and excited people in ways that no other computer maker has done before or since. The power to be your best was an advertising slogan that they used a number of years ago, and I believe that that best describes the group spirit of the Washington Apple Pie. I joined the Apple Pie probably 7 or 8 years ago because there were things I wanted to learn how to do that were difficult to find information for on the Internet. Add in slow dial-up speeds, that was the norm for the time, and my frustration in seeing dead and useless links. This is what spurred me to want to find like-minded individuals who could help. I found them and more at the Washington Apple Pie. You couldn't ask for a better group of enthusiasts who were warm, easily approachable, and able to take the stupidest question, of which I had many, and turn that into a fun, informative day or evening. When those occasions arose when I had done something incredibly foolish and turned my Macintosh computer from a useful tool of productivity into a lump of non-responsive plastic and silicon, I knew where to turn. But being in a group doesn't mean that you have to lose out on that part of you that makes you unique. Look around at the people that are here. Each of you brings a distinctive perspective for using technology in different ways. Some of you are good with words, and therefore you write. Others are interested in photography or video and express themselves with that. Still others are interested in finding new methods to use the technology that has brought us together in ways not yet fully explored. This brings me full circle to one of the latest revolutions in technology for the people, podcasting. What is podcasting? Podcasting has been described in many ways, but one of the most widely used has been internet radio. This isn't exactly accurate, as you can't usually just go to a website at a certain time to listen to your regularly scheduled audio personality fill you in on whatever it is that made you want to listen to them. Podcasts are free from time restraints in both when they are made and how they are distributed and when you might have the time to listen to them. This brings certain freedoms to both the people who make podcasts and to those who enjoy them. For people that listen to podcasts, you're not tied to a certain time to a computer, an MP3 player, or, God forbid, a radio. To listen to the latest released episode, listen to it when you want, in any order that you want. This is truly on-demand content delivery, and that is one of podcasting's biggest strengths, and in my opinion, the best reason why it has grown in the way that it has. For podcast producers, the freedom to make and release podcasts on their own schedule that isn't tied to the whims of a program director or station manager telling them where to sit, when to broadcast, or what kind of content is acceptable and what isn't. There is no censorship in podcasting beyond what you yourself consider to be in good taste. George Carlin may have named the 7 dirty words that you can't say over the air, but those limitations don't exist in podcasting. No topic is off limits. No subject can't be explored, and those people who may have felt in the past to not have a voice can be heard. Before podcasting, the price of admission for having potentially millions of people hear you was exorbitantly expensive. The gear alone would have cost you thousands, and there was no guarantee that anyone would ever listen. Now you can be heard for as little as the cost of a computer, internet connectivity, and an inexpensive microphone. You can spend a lot more than that if you want to, but you don't have to. Tools. Besides the gear I mentioned, all you really need is a subject that you feel passionate about and the willingness to voice that passion for an audience. Since we're all Apple users, we are fortunate enough that Apple includes just about everything you need to create a podcast. iPhoto allows you to include pictures that can be used to augment the subject, movies that can be added with iMovie, and GarageBand will record the audio and pull all the pieces together. QuickTime allows you to take your finished product and reduce it to a size that can be easily distributed over the internet for anyone with an iPod or a file-compatible digital player. If you need to host your podcast, Apple has you covered as well with iWeb and .Mac. iWeb makes it very easy to create a podcast with, create a website with all the links required for someone to find your podcast, including easy insertion into Apple's very own iTunes Music Store with its built-in podcast RSS feed. Of all the tools I've mentioned, only .Mac at $99 a year comes at extra cost. Apple's iLife suite of programs is free with the purchase of any new Macintosh computer, or is about $79 for the latest version. I've purchased every version of it since iLife 04, and the updates to each of the individual pieces have been worth every penny spent. These are some of the things that you can do with the built-in Apple programs. There are more professionally available tools, of course, available at additional cost, aside from what Apple offers. Some of the tools we use at the MyMac.com podcast include M-Audio Mobile Pre-USB Audio Device with Phantom Power for Tim and Chad's microphones, Alesis USB Multimix USB 8 Mixer, which is what this is right here. That also supplies Phantom Power. A Miglia Harmony Audio FireWire Audio Device. I should have unwrapped that before I got started. But the kind of neat thing about this is it's FireWire. It doesn't require power. It's powered off the FireWire bus. And I can't get the darn thing open. Stand by, we're having technical difficulties. This is what we actually used when we were at Macworld to record the on-site. It's here. Ah, yes, success. We used this to record the MyMac.com podcasts at Macworld. It's got two quarter-inch inputs for microphones, FireWire output. It's got anywhere from 8 to 12 different outputs, depending on how you if you want to listen to it live. It features built-in clipping, and it's just a really, really neat little device, and it's less than $100, this right here. I use a Shure SM57 microphone with stand and pop filter that takes out all the p and the s as you're speaking. Sennheiser EH150 headphones. We use Skype for long-distance communicating between me here in Virginia and Tim and Chad in Michigan. And they use Rogue Amiga's Audio Hijack Pro for capturing my audio from Skype into GarageBand. While these are the tools that we use, there isn't any need to purchase higher-end equipment if you really don't want to. If you want to make podcasts, besides GarageBand, there's a new software package called Ubercaster by, and I'm not making this name up, Pleasant Software for the People. It's a group in Germany, and it's still currently in beta, and it's right now the beta price I think is $69, and once it's released it'll be about $79. Now what Ubercaster does as compared to GarageBand, it works pretty much the same way. It records audio to tracks. But one thing it has that GarageBand doesn't have is built-in support for capturing audio from Skype or iChat. So if you're standing here in Virginia and you have a buddy who lives in Nome, Alaska, and you both have a subject that you feel very passionate about, there's no reason why you can't connect to them via Skype, which is free, use Audio Hijack Pro to capture the audio, and Ubercaster will do all that and record them on separate tracks. So that's a really neat piece of software. One other thing that I've seen on the net was another one called Podcaster by Kudliansoft. I haven't tried it, so I'm not quite sure how well it works. For podcast hosting, besides .Mac, there are several free or nearly free options. Some of them include Podbean.com, CastPod.com, GarageBand.com, Hipcast.com, MediaBlog.ilaf.com, MyPodcast.net, and Podshow.com. If you Google podcast hosting, you'll see there's just a plethora of people out there who will accept your audio files, host them, include all the RSS, the really simple, can't talk today, really simple syndication links that are required to get it either into iTunes or some other network of podcasts. If you want to roll it yourself, there's some RSS Mac software. The one that seems to be the most prevalent is called Feed for All Mac. It allows users to publish and make and edit RSS feeds and podcasts. Now, news, RSS feeds, podcasts, and iTunes can quickly and easily be created with Feed for All Mac. A What You See Is What You Get editor allows for feeds to be easily formatted, ensuring that all RSS feeds created with Feed for All Mac, and I'm not receiving any money for this, have a professional look. Podcasting is an easy way to express yourself and your opinions. Use it to offer information, to keep people up to date on subjects you have in common, or simply to tell the world what you think. It can be as short or as long as you wish. The choices are completely up to you. And that is why this revolution will be televised. Be part of the solution and make your voices heard. Now, if I can get a volunteer, does anyone have any questions? Ooh.
Yeah. Question though.
Yeah, just a minute.
I find it hard just to keep up with the text that's on my computer every day. And at least two organizations that I'm long to interested in have offered podcasts, and I never get around to listening to them. Is this primarily for people with long commutes or working in the shop or something? In other words, the question is, who is
the audience? The audience is whoever you want it to be. If you're really interested in making crocheted baskets, well, you could do a podcast on making crocheted baskets. It doesn't have to be technology related. So whatever subject it is that you're interested in, you can make a podcast of. And there are people out there who are interested in your opinions. Now, as far as when to have the time to listen to podcasts, one of the nice things about it is it's whenever you have the time to listen to it. So if you miss it 1 week and you got two of them built up, it's no big deal. You just go and listen to one or you listen to the other. If you get partway into one and it's not exactly your cup of tea, well, then just stop listening to it. Go on to the next one. Next question.
Yeah. Would you call the transformation of the 1984 Apple commercial into a Barack Obama commercial, a podcast?
Yeah, I've seen that. I don't know if I would call that a podcast. Was it actually created by the Obama people?
Yeah. Well, how long did it take you or me, do you think? I mean, obviously,
right.
To put such a thing together. It was obviously the original Apple commercial changed in some significant ways.
How long would it take?
How long would it take to do?
With the right tools, probably not that long at all. I mean, iMovie has all the tools that you would need to do something like that. Let me take that back. iMovie by itself, you probably couldn't do it, but there's a company called G3 that makes a lot of a lot of drop-ins for iMovie. And one of the things that it has is the ability to do screen and screen, in which case all they would have had to have done was take the image where, you know, the big brother's there on screen and then drop in their little video of Hillary Clinton. But it's really not that difficult to do. And then it's just a matter of once you've completed it, you know, transcoding it with QuickTime or whatever and then putting it out on the net.
So that 30 minutes? In an hour?
If you're doing it for the first time, probably days. You know, it's like anything else. Like the first time, I'm sure we got some Photoshop people here who are really, really good at it. But the very first time that you opened up Photoshop and you went to use it, how long did it take you to manipulate your first image?
Years.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, you come back 6 months later and you're like, oh, I can't believe I did it that way. So you go ahead and you make some changes and now it's like this. And then a year later it's like, oh God, what was I thinking? You know, and then you get new tools, new versions of it come out, new capabilities come out, and you're constantly evolving what it is you're doing. And, you know, the one thing that holds it all together is the Apple Macintosh. It's that easy to do. It's just a question of sitting down, learning how to use the software, and becoming reasonably fluent in it. And the better you get at it, the less time it takes to do it. I'm sorry, can you speak up, please? A blog typically is written opinions on a subject that someone would feel passionate about, whereas a podcast is typically either going to be audio or video. There's audio podcasts, there's video podcasts. iTunes makes it really, really easy to find all the subjects that you're interested in as far as podcasts go. For blogs along the same subject, you'd probably want to Google. But I prefer podcasts simply because, you know, when you're reading a blog, you either have to print it out or look at it on your computer, and you've got to take the time, you've got to find it, do this, do that. Whereas with a podcast, once you've downloaded it into your iPod, wherever you are, whenever you feel like listening to it, it's right there. And we have a question from the front. That's my DJ voice. Hi.
Hi. I think you've done a very good job of describing how to get your message out there.
Yes, sir.
As a consumer, mm-hmm. How can I find what I'm looking for?
Oh, that's easy. You got iTunes?
Yeah.
Okay, go to the iTunes Music Store, click on podcasting. There's a little search window in the upper right-hand corner. Type in whatever it is that you're interested in, and chances are you'll find a plethora of different types of podcasts from all different kinds of people on any subject it is that you might be interested in. Or you could even you'd even Google it, and just make sure you have the word podcasts in there somewhere so that, you know, it'll narrow it down somewhat. Are there any other questions? Hi.
Just a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
This is going to have worldwide exposure. I just wanted to add some information about the Hillary Clinton in that my understanding is that it was a young man who worked for a company that was providing advertising services for the Obama campaign. He did lose his job over it. However, he was passionate about it and said that he was very proud of what he did.
Well, it was well done. You know, I'm not going to go into politics here. You know, I mean, living here in Washington, D.C., I've come to the conclusion that they're pretty much all scoundrels. So, you know, whether you're a Republican or whether you're a Democrat, you know, when was the last time that we had a president that didn't seem to be recreated from Madison Avenue? You know, that's all I'm going to say on that subject. You know, I'm really, really tired of the political hacks that we keep getting thrust on us as our so-called leaders. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. You know, I keep waiting for the next generation to come up and have their voices heard. And it just seems like we get the same middle-of-the-road voices time and time again. I would rather have a candidate who would take a strong stance on a subject, any subject, and say, this is what I believe, whether it was popular or not. And I would vote for them. Even if I didn't agree with them, I would vote for them. Just because they took a stand on something, instead of just trying to find the middle of the road and trying to please as many people as they can, take a stand on something. I'm sorry, sir?
You've got to be happy where we are.
Well, I have to be very careful because I actually work for a government agency. So, la, 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 la. Does anybody else have any other questions?
I don't have so much a question as a comment on why you'd want to have a podcast. I work for an agency that we've gone into podcasting as a mm-hmm. way of reaching a different audience. We have scientific podcasts. A lot of people don't think of science is a popular subject, and we're trying to reach a younger generation, so we've created some podcasts which have been picked up by iTunes, and they're on scientific subjects. It's just a another way of reaching a particular audience, and the same group that produced the podcast also created some videos that they posted on to YouTube, and again, it's the same thing. You're trying to reach a particular demographic. And we've gotten a lot of comments about the podcast because, again, you can download the podcast to your iPod.
Or any MP3 player.
No, yeah. No. You download it to your iPod, listen to it on the subway, and the video iPods, you can look at the video podcast that we've had. That's another way of reaching people. When you create a podcast, you're actually creating your own separate little universe. So in the video iPod, podcast, it only has the video in it that you want, it only has the text in it that you want. Same as with your audio podcast. You can go back afterwards and you can get rid of all your oohs and ahs.
Yes.
You're presenting a more perfect vision of the world, and you're reaching a different kind of audience than you would through textual means. So just wanted to offer that as why you want to do it.
That's a very, very good point. The nice thing, it's kind of what I said in my presentation. It's content on demand. It's content that you want to listen to when you want to listen to it, how you want to listen to it. There are no limitations.
My comment is not. It's just a comment. But
yes, sir.
When radio first was invented, it was not voice. And people had to be sold on the idea that, you know, it's not just dots and dashes that can be transmitted. Then there had to be developed a market for buying receivers. Well, what are we going to put on? And dance music and live music was the first modality. So what I'm saying is that podcasting might just be in its infancy.
Oh, yes, it certainly is.
It years into something far more prevalent than it is now. I find some podcasts that are fascinating, and I have time during the day that I can listen to them. So I look forward to listening to them and downloading the newer versions. I have no idea how many of the thousands of them there are, because I'm satisfied with the ones I have, and when I get bored, I just look for some more. But I mean, it's infinite. I could spend the rest of my life listening to podcasts.
Yes, you can. Good point. Yes, sir.
I'd just like to know, in your experience...
My vast experience as a podcaster. Okay.
How many different languages are involved in podcasting? I'm pretty sure there's quite a few, but what would you say are the predominant languages that are put in podcasting?
Currently, it seems to me that the predominant language for podcasting right now is English. There are several Spanish podcasts that I know of. I don't listen to them because I don't speak Spanish. We have a guy at mymac.com who lives in Saudi Arabia, and he does a travel podcast. He travels quite a bit, and he talks about basically, you know, how to get through airports and what it is that to look out for as far as dealing with ripoffs from the local populace, things along those lines. And we actually had him on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. Mazen is his name. And it was roughly about 6 o'clock in the evening here when we started. Tim and Chad are also on East Coast time. I'm on East Coast time. Mazen was, I think, about 8 hours ahead of us. So it was roughly, I think, 2 o'clock in the morning when he was speaking. And it was all done via Skype using Audio Hijack Pro. And it was wonderful. This podcasting is a way for people all over the world. I mean, really, what we're talking about here is communications. How to get your message out. Who's going to listen to your message? And the world every year gets smaller and smaller and smaller. That's not necessarily a bad thing. One of the reasons why there's so many problems in the world is a lack of communication. People don't understand the viewpoint of country A, and country B doesn't understand the viewpoint of country C. And then pretty soon, you've got problems. enhanced communication between different types of people can only be positive. Are there any other questions? Yes, sir. Can you speak up, please?
Other than just the motive of having your own opinion expressed and put out there,
yes, sir.
Guys, is there a commercial way of making money from
that?
Like, for instance, you mentioned something about hosting, having your podcast hosted. I mean, people are apparently making money hosting for other people.
Yes.
What does that take?
Sorry, what was that last bit?
What does it take to be a host?
Your own server farm. So if you've got a couple of $1 million to buy in servers and can afford conditioned power and whatever it takes to get a big pipe, then, you know, yeah, you could offer your services as a host, but that's exuberantly expensive. There are people that are currently right now being paid to be full-time podcasters. I don't know if anyone here has ever heard of, and Tim is going to get mad at me for saying this, has anyone here heard of Dawn and Drew? Okay, there are a couple podcasts that they live in God knows where, somewhere in Wisconsin. And they started doing podcasts, I guess about 2 years ago. And they're very, very irrelevant and irreverent. And they probably won't be everyone's cup of tea. I listen to them just because I think Don has kind of a unique perspective on the world. It's a fun podcast for me anyway to listen to. And when they first started, she wasn't working. He was working. He ended up quitting his job. They got a deal with, I think, Adam Curry's group, Podshow. And now they're being paid to be full-time podcasters. At the same time, they have advertisers. GoDaddy advertises with them, and a few other people do as well. And they're basically, that this is their job now. 5 days a week, they create about a half-hour podcast. So there is ways to make money on it. So far, Tim, Chad, and myself haven't quite figured out what that is. Maybe someday. Yes, sir.
Is there a way, when you get ready to do a podcast, do you have an outline, or today I'm going to push this particular topic, or do you just sort of flow freely?
Well, today, for example, I had my notes that I read, mostly because I haven't done this kind of thing before. I'm not used to typically speaking to a large group of people. I hope I haven't done too badly. The way that we normally do our podcast, we're not really, the MyMac.com podcast isn't so much, well, MyMac.com, for example, isn't really a news type of website. It's not where you're going to go to find the latest rumors on when 10.5 Leopard is going to come out, or when the new Octa-Core Mac Pros are going to be released. We do a lot of reviews. We have a blog site where the various writers from all over the world, we have people in Germany, we have people in Saudi Arabia, we have people in England, we have people in Australia. They can come and they can post their thoughts. And mymac.com is a pretty popular site, and a lot of people will come in and read it. When we do our podcast, when I first started podcasting with mymac.com, I was doing this thing called the Dashboard Minute. And what that basically was a review of 1 to 3 different dashboard widgets. And I would pre-record this, I would send it to Tim, and at some point during Tim and Chad's podcast, they would drop my little segment in. And then when we came up to the 100th podcast, which they did live at the Apple Store in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Chad couldn't make it. He had family obligations. He wasn't going to be able to be there. And I volunteered to fly to Michigan at my own expense and be part of the 100th podcast. And we had a really, really good time. And the night before the podcast, Tim, Chad, and I sat in my hotel room, and we recorded about an hour and a half of us just shooting the breeze. And we had, it was really, really a lot of fun. And Tim ended up breaking that up into four or five different segments, which were put out onto the mini podcasts that we used to do. And after that podcast, we realized that we had a really, really good chemistry together. And I was invited back to be one of the co-hosts. So since show 100, and we're up to 122 or 123, I've been one of the co-hosts. So at 6 o'clock on Thursday nights, I sit down in front of my computer, fire up Skype. Tim calls me, he records me, and then he puts the whole mess together. And on Sunday nights, it's released as the MyMac.com podcast. But we have a really, really good time doing it, because when it comes down to it, if you are doing something that you're not being paid for and you don't enjoy it, what's the point? Yes, sir.
I wonder how you survey feedback or audience. How do you know how big your audience is?
Well, Tim monitors how many numbers of unique hits that he gets, because he has our hosting company is Inotech.com, and he actually went out and bought a server and sent it to them, or actually it was his old, it was a G5 tower, sent it to them, and all of our stuff is hosted on that G5. It reduces Tim's costs a little bit. So he's able to use various pieces of software, and please don't ask me what it is, because that's not really my forte. And he's able to go in and say, okay, well, this week, My Mac podcast number 116 had 45,322 unique hits or unique downloads. So he's able to find out. He uses this information to put out to people who will potentially advertise and say, you know, we have X number of people that listen to our show every single week. So why not have your voice or your product heard on our podcast? And it doesn't have to be about computers. You know, we would be delighted if McDonald's would come and say, hey, here's $1,000 a week to give a 30-second commercial, you know, or Visa or MasterCard or Plymouth, you know, or not Plymouth anymore, but Chrysler Corporation, you know, whoever. Just because you're putting out a technical podcast doesn't mean that your advertisers have to be of the same genre. It could be anybody. Did I actually answer your question, or did I go off on another tangent? I do that every once in a while. Yes, sir.
After Macworld,
yes, sir.
Through February, mm-hmm. There was just a lot of podcasts about the Mac.
Yes.
The last month, Chuck Joyner, Leo Laporte, others.
Good old Leo. Leo's making a mint. Don't let him kid you.
There is no news, or people just worn out from Macworld.
Being worn out from Macworld can be part of it. I used to get, when they still had the New York Macworld, and the Washington Apple Pie would get those three great big luxury buses to drive up to New York from the back of Micro Center. This podcast is not being sponsored by Micro Center. We would meet at what, 4:45 in the morning? 4:45 in the morning? Was it that early? Okay, God. And then drive to New York, spend the whole day, drive back, stop at, what was it, Maselli's? Does anybody, was that the name of that restaurant with the 5,000 different entrees? And it was a lot of fun. I mean, we really, really had a good time. And when IBG stopped doing the East Coast, actually when they moved it to Boston, that really killed the East Coast Macworld show. But when IDG stopped doing an East Coast Macworld show, I mean, I really, really missed it. Did anyone here miss not having an East Coast Macworld show? You know, I mean, we never got the chance to go to all the other things that were involved with the Macworld, the presentations and the keynote and all that. But just to have the chance to go there and walk through the aisles and see all these products, and just to realize that we're not alone, that we have all of these other people that are interested in the Macintosh platform. And when the San Francisco Macworld was coming up and Tim had told me that he was going to have himself and a group of other people go, I was like, you know what? I got to go to this thing. It had been since, 2001, I think, was the last New York show. I got to go. So, you know, oddly enough, I started thinking about ways that I could convince my wife to let me go and to spend the money, because it's not cheap. You have to fly, then you have to stay at a hotel and all the rest of it. And I worked up all of these scenarios in my head, and I basically said, well, you know, honey, I was thinking about going to the San Francisco Macworld show and you know, be part of the MyMac.com experience out there. And she looked at me, and she said, well, okay, have a good time. And all of these scenarios that I'd built up in my mind, and, you know, I mean, they were all, it was almost like I had my notes in my mind ready to go. And it was, you know, I've been married for almost 15 years now, and I don't win arguments in my house. I never have. My wife is much smarter than I am. She's a William & Mary graduate. I went to Broward Community College in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We called it Tinker Toy Tech. So I don't win arguments in my house. So when she was like, well, have a really good time, I was like, But I went. It was a lot of fun. I'm sorry I didn't get to see Pat while I was there. I understand you were sick.
Well, I was sick and I was all over the place.
Yeah. Well, so were we. We were, but one of the really nice things about being at a Macworld, in the respect that I was with the one in San Francisco, was that I was press. So I had a special little badge, and we had our own little room that had hot coffee, and they actually gave us a voucher for lunch, like a $20 a day voucher to get something to eat. And I felt so important. And then Macworld's over, and it's like, okay, now I'm just a regular schlub again. So does anyone else have any other questions?
How do you pick up your podcast?
Hold on just a second. You must have the magic microphone.
How do you pick up your particular podcast?
Go to iTunes. Go to the iTunes Music Store in the little search window. Just type in mymac.com. Lo and behold, the mymac.com podcast will pop up, and you can hear me in all my glory. Oh, and Tim and Chad, too. Yes, sir. God, I hope that's on.
Oh, yes. Do you get feedback from your audience as to what they like and what they don't like, or do you encourage it, or how does one?
Tim and Chad have a... Actually, let me bring up the site right here. Tim and Chad have a hotline number through Skype. And when this comes up, I'll tell you what it is. But we also... We receive feedback via email. We receive some audio feedback just from, you know, people emailing us audio feedback. Come on. This is why I really, really need an Intel.
Tell your wife.
Yeah, tell my wife, yeah. Yeah, good luck on that.
We also have all the podcasts on mymac.com on this month's CD.
All of them or just since 100?
All of them since the first of the year.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Since the first of the year on there. And there's a link to mymac.com so that you can subscribe right on the site, because you have a link right there on your site. Too.
Yes, we do.
So that'll be sure to do.
But if you want to leave us audio comments just by picking up your telephone, just dial 1-801-938-5559. And then leave a message, and chances are you'll hear it on the podcast. We love getting comments back. But as far as feedback goes, that can be kind of a mixed bag. I'm originally from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And on the podcast, on occasions, I make fun of kind of the stereotype that Florida has gotten over the last few years, starting with the 2000 elections, thank you very much, and the hanging chads. And someone left a comment on the iTunes site that accused me of being a racist because I made fun of people from Florida. Now, maybe it's just me, but I wasn't aware that people from Florida constituted their own race. You know, I could be wrong. I went to school in Florida, so, you know, maybe they are, and I just never realized it. Does anyone else have any other questions? I'd like to thank you all for allowing me to be here today, and for all your questions. And I hope I didn't do too badly. Well, that's about it. I really, really had a good time, and I'd like to thank all the members of the Washington Apple Pie for all their questions and for how warm they were, and especially treating me for pizza afterwards. That was a really nice touch. I'm definitely going to be spending a little more time, as time allows, with the Washington Apple Pie. Thanks again, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.